T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Your guess is as good as mine. Caught up today's categories, Star Wars and salads. Your guess is as good as mine, coming up right after emails on our random question. Question 206-421-ROCK.
Welcome to the Cotton Club. Yeah.
Random.
It's a real place.
It's a famous club, Mike.
I guess it sounds bad if you don't know, but it's a very famous club in Harlem.
It's super famous.
Hello, Jay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
All right, Jay, let's see here. What kind of question do we have for you? Okay. Jay, let's go with this one. Where are you planning on watching fireworks? What's the big plan for the 4th of July weekend? You got one?
No, not really. I'm going to Tacoma to hang out with some friends and get very drunk by a campfire.
And do you believe that anyone there will then be blowing off some fireworks?
Yes.
Sounds like it's
I certainly hope not.
Yeah, but look, man, something happens in this country, and our general rules are between July 1st and July 7th. It is just understood that all night you're going to hear explosions everywhere.
So you're saying the fireworks aren't necessarily your thing?
Well, I like them. I just don't like setting them off. I'm sure somebody there will probably have some.
Oh, I agree with that. I'm not going to be one that lights a fuse, but I'll watch a few at a safe distance.
I'm from the South, so the 4th of July for us starts like June 30th and ends like July 15th.
Okay, see, now, my general rule, I'm not going to bitch about this phase, is honestly July 1st to July 7th. So, like, Mike came in today and said, man, somebody's lighting off M80s or whatever. And it's like, we get it, man, but it's June 29th. Like, okay. Can you just wait till July 1st?
What, are you going to a lake? You going to a river? Where are you doing this?
I'm doing it at a friend's house.
So you're just going out in the backyard and doing your thing?
Yeah, pretty much. It'll be about 10 or so of us. Lots of alcohol, bonfire, and maybe some camping out.
You said you're from the South. What part of the South? And the reason I ask is, you know, in my life, July 4th, and this is most people, we're going to grill, but typically it's burgers, it's hot dogs, people are bringing whatever kind of and there's nothing wrong with that, but I have spent a July 4th in Houston, Texas, and it's a different cookout. I mean, it is an abundance of well-smoked meats that show up at your table.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Tennessee originally, so...
Okay.
We cook out. We set fireworks off. Occasionally, we set things on fire.
On purpose or as a result of the fireworks?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That's an honest answer.
What part of Tennessee?
It's a little town just north of Memphis called Dyersburg.
All right.
Okay. Don't know the western part of Texas.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I only knew Knoxville.
If I got invited to a July 4th party anywhere in the South, I would go just based on the food alone.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, man. I mean, it is a different universe down there.
Right. In Tennessee, for some reason, I was about to sound like an idiot. I go, I don't think about Tennessee and barbecue, but that's a lie. Memphis barbecue is pretty famous.
And he's just north of Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The one town that's known.
Right.
You guys got plans to do anything? I guess they're not going to do any of the major stuff this year. Southlake Union, that's probably all been canceled and all that.
I would have to assume so just by social distancing for Gasworks and other places.
You don't want to be on Gasworks Parks anyway. I cannot have people sit there all day. I'm like, suit yourself. But with all this stuff going on, the pandemic, I would think it's terrible. And the older I get, the less fireworks are exciting. But the best fireworks I display that I've seen, honestly, one, it was in Seattle. Because Seattle had much more high-tech fireworks, say, than the East Coast. So from the East Coast, there's an abundance of fireworks. New York City, D.C., like, they don't skimp on the number, but we didn't get smiley faces and dice and all that. And I remember we come to Seattle, and I'm like, was that supposed to look like a smiley face or a dog? That was incredible. We're at Miles' place years ago, and you're in Fremont, kind of near the canal and or whatever, and we watched the fireworks display, and it was pretty decent, all right? And then Miles and I got to smoke a cigarette, and the greatest finale, but it was about 10 or 15 minutes after what we thought was
the end. People had already cleared out for the most part.
Yeah. And man, the sky lit up, and I mean, it was unbelievable.
An entire barge didn't get ignited, so they had all this extra stuff, and they just blew it up in the middle
of the night. We did not know that. We thought, this is the ultimate finale. I cannot believe how well Seattle does fireworks. There was a barge fire, and everything that was left.
Oh, yeah.
It blew everything up there. But I'll tell you what, other than the fire on the barge, it was a hell of a display.
They had dock fires. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Something will land on, like, a piece of wood over on East Lake, or some old wooden docks over there by the prop planes, man, and just send that up into...
Yeah, my neighborhood, too, for whatever reason, right in front of my place, is like a another side street.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's every year, but last year, just decided, like, if you have loud M80s or whatever, you shoot them off right there.
When I lived in Greenwood, there was they lived about two blocks away, and you could guarantee July 4th, either before or after the official Seattle firework, they let off... I mean, it was just unbelievable that this was a home in the middle of the city. It's one thing if you're out in the cut, but I mean, in the middle of the city, how many fireworks they had, how cool the displays were, but all the neighbors would come out. And as my old neighbor Bob would say, he said, look, man, part of me is out here to watch the fireworks. The other part of me is that, honest to God, I'll get your hose ready because people's roofs catch on fire. Because, I mean, these guys are blowing off all kinds
of
stuff.
You know, the neighbors in my neighborhood, they kind of typically they'll run out in the middle of the street. They've got these big mortars and stuff. And they blow them up when the cars aren't coming by. But it's typically pretty busy down there because of South Lake Union. People park there. People walk over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's kind of like this, you know, like they're doing this guerrilla effort, like running out real quick, setting it up, lighting it off, running back. You know, now they're just going to walk out in the middle of the street, man. I mean, you could be on a busy street and just start blowing stuff up. There's nobody out.
There's nobody out.
The same thing for me. Like the way that street intersects, people run out there when the cars aren't going and start lighting off stuff.
People here, just real quick, says, I had a neighbor that lit fireworks from June 1st to the end of August. So annoying. So it was And then this one, it says, listen, I live next to Muckleshoot Reservation. It's been nonstop fireworks for 2 weeks already.
Don't they have a field beside that whole mall, that outdoor mall?
So, I mean,
you can just, you're going to the amphitheater.
You can walk right next door. You know what I mean?
And that's where they live.
Blowing up on the field there. The reason we asked, where are you watching fireworks? And that probably wouldn't be a bad spot. Just go out there and watch people blow up their stuff. Cops in Staten Island, New York, arrested a group of 10 people this week after they were caught with a truckload of illegal fireworks they were planning to sell, and they also found three dead alligators. Tweeted out a photo of the fireworks, but not the gators. They did mention them in the tweet, though, and specifically said they were not joking. The people they arrested are facing charges for firework trafficking and unlawfully transporting three alligator carcasses, which you now know is illegal.
What do you think the plan was with the alligator carcass? Because you have a wallet made from the cloaca of an alligator, which is not a joke, or crocodile, whichever it was.
Alligator. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they're going to use it for leather. Maybe they were in a taxidermy.
Yeah, I'm sort of like, what do you do with that? And who's the person you know that wants that?
Here's something I discovered about my wallet that I never really even thought of this ever, right? I normally have a leather wallet, or the ones I've had before that were leather, were made out of cowhide, obviously. Okay. So I accidentally washed my wallet.
The cloaca one?
The alligator wallet. Right, correct.
And what happened to it?
Nothing.
Right.
And I realized they live in water, and this did not affect this whatsoever.
How'd you wash your wallet?
I just left it in a pair of pants.
He's money laundering.
Put it in the wash. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh my God, my wallet's in here. What? And I'm like, oh, yeah, alligator lives in the water, doesn't it?
Should be good.
Nothing happened.
I think I got to take my wallet out. Like, when I'm decided I'm not going to leave the home again for the evening, I always put it in a certain spot.
I normally do, too.
Wallet, keys, hat, they're all
together. I think this is one of those nights where the pants just hit the floor, and then I...
Nights.
You know what I'm saying?
Are you getting lucky?
No. Probably getting the spins.
Right. Hello, Edward. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Edward, welcome to the program. The random question. Okay, let's see here. How about we go with this one? What would you say you miss the most about being a kid? What do you miss the most about being a kid?
Oh, man. I would say I grew up in a log cabin in New Jersey, and I know that doesn't make sense.
I was going to ask. You just made my brain hurt.
Yeah, I know. You know, southern New Jersey is a little different than northern New Jersey, so we had a seven acres of just woods and nobody to bother you.
What kinds of things did you do with your seven? I mean, as a kid, 7 acres seems like there's a whole lot of trouble I can get into, but a whole lot of opportunity to cover my tracks.
Yeah, you can go out in the woods and start fires and do bad stuff like you're just talking about, playing mm-hmm. with fireworks and such.
Were you close to the Pine Barrens?
I was south of the Pine Barrens, but yeah, we lived in the Pine Barrens there.
Okay. Do you realize how many dead bodies are in that thing?
No comment, I guess.
Atta boy.
I mean, that is the word on the street. I mean, you go all the way back to the early days of the mafia as it formed in New York City. Now, if you're like think about it in movie form, it'd be more like Miller's Crossing, somewhere in that era of early gangsters. But those bodies, if it wasn't at sea, man, it just seemed like they were always going into the Pine Barrens.
Yeah, because they're not going to find anything.
And digging stuff up because nobody ever went in there. So that used to be one of the notorious places where, you know, people, they'd find a body someplace, hikers would be out there.
I just assume if I'm in the forest, there's dead bodies.
Always assume that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's right, but always assume there's dead bodies. Within 20 feet. There's a cougar watching you, and there's a corpse buried close. What are some of the things you do, though, in New Jersey on 7 acres? Because when I think New Jersey, I never picture 7 acres of land.
I mean, you do anything you do with 7 acres anywhere else. You kind of, like, drive a tractor and cut wood for the fireplace. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of buddies that hung out with you, or was it more isolated?
Well, Jersey sucks because you can't get your license till you're 17. So yeah,
really?
You're a little isolated.
I'll tell you one great thing about that area, which is a lot of people don't know. It's a little bit weird. Based on the pine trees and everything else in the area, there's the soil is somewhat acidic, but it's sandy. So the tomato crop, I swear to you,
what you're excited about.
Those are the best tomatoes in the world. I mean, obviously,
ladies, one day Miles will be available.
Roma tomatoes pretty good in Italy, but I'm telling you right now, man, New Jersey tomatoes. And I know it just sounds like, yeah, Jersey tomatoes.
No,
are the
they're
best.
Famous for.
They are really, really good, man.
What's the ones you get at the end of summer? Heirlooms.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can get them all around anymore.
Oh, I mean, to me, tomatoes are tomatoes. I don't know.
I'm not a huge tomato guy, but I love bruschetta.
I like bruschetta. I will say, going to Italy last year, and again, I'm not dying to try, but you can't not eat tomatoes in Italy. It's just an impossibility. They were tremendous.
I bet they were.
And they're like, yeah, it's on the can of cash. Mm-hmm. And they sound just like that. They thought I was a local.
Luigi! Yeah. What do you guys miss the most about being a kid?
You know, this is stupid, but someone kind of nails it. It says, what I miss most about my childhood is not being jaded about everything. You know, everything's still kind of exciting. Everything's still kind of new. And you don't know it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think just like hanging out with your buddies and doing whatever.
Right. I mean, yeah, even if it's like 3-on-3 basketball, if you can get 6 friends together.
I might say legit playing wiffle ball like with my cousins in their backyard.
Because you just had fun.
And we just did it all summer.
And the one thing about being a kid, right, you know, and this happens to every kid every time they play outdoors. Every one of you will have a 2-minute cry. You fell off your bike. You ate it on the skateboard. Get hit in the face with the wiffle ball. And once you're done, you're just back mm-hmm. to the fun, man.
Sleepovers. Like sleepovers.
Oh, God, that was like the ultimate.
You know what I mean? Like, if I had a sleepover at my house, I know what we have to eat. We will have a good time, blah, blah, blah. If you go over to somebody else's house, man, it's like...
My kids are all about sleepovers. It is the single biggest...
You got pizza rolls? What else you got? We can drink Coke?
You know what it is, man?
All right. We can have soda?
A sleepover for kids is like us going to Vegas. So just boys weekend, let's go to Vegas, because we're going to rage. And kids, you know, when they do the sleepover... They're up until 2 a.m. They're doing whatever they're doing. And they're not really doing anything. They're just happy to be awake and have fun. Life is mm-hmm. real simple.
Well, they didn't go to adults on this one, but they did have a survey where they asked 1,000 kids under the age of 11 to name the best thing about being a kid. And they're right there in the wheelhouse, so they know.
Just say under 11. They could say, like, rainbows and...
Yeah, that's...
Ice cream.
Yeah.
But think how simple it is. Like, And honestly, I mean, think about what you can use to bribe. Like, you try to bribe a cop, you go to jail. You go to bribe a... Yes, that it happens.
I'm so sorry.
You go to bribe a kid, you're like, listen.
That's not to come out of your mouth.
I'll give you 3 dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets. And, like, that's all you need to do to wheel and deal with kids.
I will say that not in my circumstance, it just does... It seems like we did a lot more as kids as far as what we had to do...
Chore-wise?
For the home. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Compared to my kids and, well, I mean, that's on me, but... I was cutting grass when I was 9, 10 years old. I mean, I don't really have any grass to cut now, but I shoveling snow, raking leaves, bringing in firewood, splitting firewood, stacking firewood, driving firewood, bringing it into the house.
Well, to do anything, before you, like on the weekends or during the summer, before you, and keep in mind, your parents wanted you out of the house. That's one thing. Like, the whole thing is you're going to go outside. You cannot be in my home. That was the role of the parents, but... We know you're going to F off all day. We know you're going to get into trouble. But before you do all of that, like you said, you got like 8 things you got to knock out.
I would also say, again, summertime, man. Just going to the pool.
Some of the things.
Summertime. Yeah, not summer going to school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eating terrible pizza.
Oh, man, you know what,
and
too.
Liking it.
And I don't know why this always fires me up. But the same reason that kids like to go to the Great Wolf Lodge, but a lot of the places on the East Coast when you go to beach or whatever and you have your vacation with your family, those water slide parks.
Yes.
Where you take the mat. Man, that was one of my favorite days of the year. No questions asked. I just loved that thing, man. For whatever reason, that was one of the greatest days ever of the year, always.
I like what someone's saying here. Wetting the bed and not giving a crap about it. Like,
fair.
Someone else, summertime hide and seek with the entire neighborhood.
We would play late night games like kick the can,
dude,
or whatever the flashlight
game
games
you
were.
Got to play at night that involved like flashlight, like
people
this
running the neighborhood.
This is the greatest thing ever. And we realized, you didn't realize it then, but I realize it now as an adult, all right? So back when people, those were the days you could have friends over, they have kids. And the general rule is this, like all of the adults generally are in one place and we are drinking. And as my mother says, telling lies, right? And we're having a good time. And for the kids, for you to continue to have all this night play outside, all you have to do is solve your own problems. Like,
oh, yeah.
If you come up here crying because so-and-so did so-and-so, the party's over. So we can hear you crying, right? And everyone listens for their own kid. And this is really sad, but kids understand it. You listen to hear whose kid it is. All you know is if it's not yours, the parent doesn't identify it. You still wait about 2 minutes. They stop crying. All is well. We continue to drink. Mm-hmm. You continue to have fun.
Here are some of the answers. Top 10 of 1,000 kids surveyed under the age of 11 to name the best thing about being a kid. Jumping in puddles and playing outside in the rain. I will say this, when I was running a lot more than I am now, one of the things that really brought back the fact of being a kid is, if you're an adult and it starts to rain, you put your hood up, you seek shelter somehow, maybe you walk under awnings or you carry an umbrella, whatever you do, you plow through it sometimes, but when you're running, you don't really have a choice. You know what I mean? So running in the rain is kind of reminiscent of being a kid. It's raining on you. You're going to get wet anyway.
But you
don't
volunteer.
You don't really care. You
know I will say, my son, we went to the Seahawks-Ravens game last year. The weather was abysmal. So all of the adults, maybe we got our hoods up, hands in pockets, and a hand over your beer so it doesn't get watered down. My son, I do not know why this is, rain means nothing to him. So he's got his little fro. That thing's melting down. Mm-hmm. And I got, hey, dude, do you want to put your hood up? And he looked at me at one point and said, why?
Yeah.
It's like, never mind.
Building forts and make-believe in general, just the idea of using your imagination and playing, which is pretty intelligent
is
for kids
huge,
that are 11.
Yes.
Having lots of friends. And let's face it, the older that you get, it's not that you don't have as... You probably just don't... Not
you
that you don't have friends.
More
you just,
selective.
Yeah, but it's just hard to really hang out the way you used to when you could call someone up and say, hey, man, we're all going to meet here, you know what I mean, play football or basketball or whatever, to go to the lake or whatever.
I think that's some of it. But look, like this, if there's a birthday party, at least in the grades that my kids are at, it's one of those deals where you have to invite everyone, and stunningly, they all show up, even though I know for a fact my daughter hates this person. Like, you hate each other. For this moment, you can play, but like, when you get older... You're not going to associate with that person because they suck.
Holidays are even fun. I mean, as a kid, as a guy, Valentine's Day was great. You had a Valentine that you're supposed to give every single kid in the class. You wrote Valentine's for all the kids, but you got candy. You got the party. There was no pressure.
It's misleading.
Right, exactly.
Kids,
and, you know, like
when you're
easy.
An adult, Valentine's Day, at least if you're a dude, it might be the single...
It really changes
worst
the holiday.
Day, but very, right. As a kid, I gave you a little heart that says, be mine on it, right? And somehow that was cute, and that's wonderful. Now it's just like, I'm going to spend $300 goddamn dollars and go to some. I'm going to pick the restaurant that I like most, but this restaurant's not going to serve the menu.
They've decided
for the reason
day,
I want to go.
They decided the one day that is important to every couple out there that they're going to take that menu of 20 delicious items and only give you five.
And none of them are normally honest.
And you had to book that 3 months in advance.
To get a meal you didn't want.
If you were to just go the next night, you know what I mean?
I would get what
everything,
I want.
The pork chop would be there. You wouldn't have to go pick one here, pick one here, pick one here. You could just go like, can I just pick what I want and eat that instead?
Here's a strong one from the comments, all right? It says, playing doorbell ditch. Great as a kid, that makes me think of prank calls. Mm-hmm. When you were a kid, because it was never awful. You never said anything horrible.
Technology,
it
man.
Lasted 10 seconds, but once they introduced caller ID, certainly with cell phones, like, kids, this sounds terrible. That, to me, absolutely was something you wanted to do. You had fun doing it for whatever reasons you wanted to do it. And it's harmless fun.
And look, with the door cams and everything now, you're not going to be able to run up to somebody's door.
Thanks,
door
Nest.
You can't.
No, I mean, it's just like all the fun games like that are gone.
It's also probably the closest I ever got to dying.
Other things
like sprinting off somebody's porch and like running through traffic in a car stopping like a foot from my, you know, like 12-year-old.
When we were stabbing all those inflatable bunny rabbits on Easter that one night, I told you the owner came out and busted my buddy over the back with a baseball bat.
Oh.
And you could hear the air exit Brett's like, and when he was running, man, we were all running. He was like, and eventually goes, oh, God, I couldn't breathe for 35 seconds.
Like, we know.
And then he had this black line going across his back for like 3 weeks after that.
I mean, I still really like Christmas now, partly because of my birthday. But I think as a kid, the magic of it is different.
It is an unbelievable thing.
Other things that kids love about being a kid, you get to go outside a lot. Birthdays are a big deal. Doesn't matter if it's yours or someone else's.
True.
Cake.
Summer vacation.
You know, one thing
about all the other holidays you have off. Summer vacation. Wow.
Summer vacation. And I remember, like, if you got to bring a friend with you, that was like next level.
Let me tell you something about birthdays now. And I was unaware of this, but if you go to someone else's birthday party as kids, you get a goodie bag. Like, you get a prize just because you showed up. It's not even your birthday and you come on with balloons and this and that. I'm like, that S was not like that when I was growing up.
Number three on the list, just the excitement during the lead up till Christmas Day. Number two, believe it or not, having parents to love and take care of you. Make all your meals. Even kids under the age of 11 understand that that's something that they
do. They
that's if both of them love you, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's
there's
like,
a little different in my house, player.
It's not like they're cooking the dinners and the meals and everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even imagine a world that, you know what I mean, where I'm not in charge of the food or...
Yeah, well, it's all on us now.
Exactly.
Or even just a Happy Meal.
Any idea the number one thing that kids love looking forward to?
Playing in the hose.
Actually, it's just Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
So the excitement leading up is number three, and Christmas presents number one on what do you miss about being a kid? More of the random question coming up. 206-421-ROCK. You are listening to The Men's Room.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
The Men's Room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up, the categories is Star Wars and Delicious Salads. We'll play Your Guess is as Good as Mine right after emails on a random question.
A couple of comments came in. You were talking about the technical glitches where the phones dropped off. And I guess something affected that song that I love. That I did not hear them here in the studio during A Rose at the Store. And it says, God damn it, knock it off. I'm trying to drive a semi here. I'm laughing so hard I can't see through tears. I don't know what you're talking about. Someone, and I don't know why people target me. It says, yes, Thrill, that's great. I'm cracking up on my drive home. The people in the lane next to me looked at me like I'm a lunatic. Who's playing video games in the background? Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Someone says, love the remix. I did not know they did a remix. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I'm laughing so hard, tears rolling down my face. Someone says, I never liked the song until the thrill mix. Hey, I love this song. I surely had nothing to do with whatever technical glitch you heard during every freaking rose.
In here.
Has its freaking, yeah. Yeah, I love that song, so I don't know what everyone's going on about. We apologize for the technical glitches during that otherwise legendary song. Hello, Donnie. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Donnie.
Donnie, you in the house. Hold on.
Donnie is in the house.
In his house. Look out, Donnie.
Donnie in the casa.
All right, Donnie, let's go with this one. Okay, all time. Who would you say, either if they're just like an acting comedian, stand-up comedian, who is your favorite all-time comedian?
Oh, geez. Let's go with Mr. Richard Pryor.
Fine choice.
That is a good one. And the more that I get into albums, if you go to the Comedy Well, which used to be pretty big, bless you.
Damn, bless you, Ted.
Sorry. Big back in the day, man. I mean, some of Richard Pryor's best stuff is just stand-up that was put out on album form. If you never got a chance to see him live, like I never did. I mean, that's one way to just listen to. I mean, you realize the brilliance of Richard Pryor without even seeing him.
It is funny. I don't know how he would do now in today's climate if he rolled out with those jokes. Right?
Look up in the air.
Right. Yeah.
You delved right in, man.
Yeah, Steve Martin's George Carlin in the album years, I thought, was...
he was fun. Much different style, but yeah.
I'd put Chappelle on there.
Sure. Oh, without question. Cheech and Chong did great...
great albums, yeah.
...type comedy on their albums.
What about, like, right now? Other than Dave Chappelle, right? I watched Ted... Try to help me with his damn name. I'm not going to remember. He had a very funny joke about the Tai Chi that I was telling you, but Jimmy...
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not going to pull it.
Damn it. Me neither. Either way, I don't want to be that guy. But, you know, you're just trying to lighten the mood lately. So I was going through and I'm listening to, pulled up an hour-long special of this guy. And he was pretty funny. And the things that were funny were, but not all of it was that great. And then I think back to, like, the Eddie Murphy Raws and all this, where you literally laughed the entire time. Yeah. Then I'm going through as my son seems to only wander into the living room at the most inappropriate moments, you know, so he doesn't quite get some jokes, but he understands that if you're an adult, this would be very, very, very funny. So I went there and they had like the 10 best comedians to listen to if you have kids, like ages 10 down, right? So, and it wasn't awful. It's like Jim Gaffigan, a couple other people. There were some things, and I can't remember any of their names other than Jim Gaffigan, but it was some funny stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Brian
Reagan does.
He was on there. He was on that list as well.
Yeah. Always clean, super funny.
He did like 2 hours and a half at the Paramount, and it just flew by. You didn't even realize. Jerry Seinfeld, when I saw him, I thought his stand-up was great. He's not my favorite character on the show. I mean, but I'd never seen him do stand-up before, and I mean, it was just one after the other. He was on fire.
I'm trying to think, like, Hannibal.
How about Tom Segura? I know the name.
Yeah.
Okay, someone's saying that's their favorite right now. Mitch Hedberg.
He's big buddies with like Kreischer or Burt Kreischer and that whole crew.
Okay, all right.
And if you like Mitch Hedberg, then you're going to like Bill Hicks and some of the other guys.
Sure.
I'd put Hannibal Burris up there.
He's funny, yeah.
Patton Oswalt.
Eddie Murphy. I mean, as far as when he did stand up.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy for me, it was just a little pre ahead of time. It's like I've seen Raw, but it's not the same.
It's not timely.
Sure.
Oh, Chris Rock.
Yeah, Chris Rock. Like, man, for a minute there, he was on top of the world.
He was massive.
I mean, you'd laugh for an hour straight.
You know what's sad, man? Louis C.K. was very funny. You know, obviously we have learned some things where you feel less inclined to want to see him, but Louis C.K., in spite of his appearance, was one of Chris Rock's top writers for his comedy.
You know, the only stand-up that I've ever seen where I went, was probably Amy Schumer on New Year's Eve. She had the Key Arena was full. I mean, it was packed.
For sure.
And I think I was the only person in there like, no, it's okay.
I just never thought she was that funny. I think she's very funny as an actress. So, like, the roles she gets, like, what's her face? Melissa McCarthy, right? Mm-hmm. If you put her in a movie, I'm probably going to laugh. But I don't know. I mean, the bits and pieces I've heard of Schumer stand-up, it's not that it's bad. It just does not make me laugh.
Comedy's tough, too, because, like, some of those people just break through all of it. But sometimes comedy is for a certain audience.
It is. Absolutely.
You know
what
I mean? So I think for something like Amy Schumer, sometimes there's jokes that maybe we don't find as funny, but the audience is massive.
Sure,
there he is.
Obviously. Yeah. The place was packed. The reason we asked, who's your favorite comedian? We all know Sacha Baron Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
He is up to his old tricks again right here at home. Over the weekend, he infiltrated an outdoor rally by a right-wing group called the Three Percenters in the state of Washington. Sasha posed as the singer of a country band, complete with overalls, a cowboy hat, and a fake beard. He got the crowd to sing along as he took shots at Dr. Anthony Fauci, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the WHO. He suggested injecting Fauci and Obama with, quote, the Wuhan flu, and locking up Hillary Clinton. As for the WHO, he said we should, quote, chop them up like the Saudis do. Organizers of the rally say they were disgusted by the antics, but could not stop him because he had security protecting him. But not everyone was disgusted. You can hear people singing along with the song as he asked them to in the video. It only shows the band, so you can't tell how many people are watching and or enjoying it. They did have, apparently, an escape ambulance that they had parked on the side of the stage. So I guess when things got a little bit testy, they ran into the ambulance and drove away. But
yeah, I think he understood how that...
Yeah, not good.
Random, by the way, real quick, someone adds Kevin Hart to the comedian list.
Kevin Hart, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this one, I'm torn on this particular comedian because sometimes I don't know if I'm laughing at his joke or just laughing at him and how he is, but Cat Williams.
Okay.
Like, I realize I'm laughing a lot, but a lot of times he's not even telling a joke. He's just one of those dudes. He reminds me of so many people I knew in Baltimore. I'm like, I'm just always kind of chuckling when I see him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I'm with you.
His jokes are funny, too, but somehow just his existence is something I find funny. Guess who it is, Ted?
James!
James! Welcome to the men's room, James. Welcome.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores!
All right, James, welcome to the program. The random question. We're going to go to the sports category well on this one.
Sports. Okay.
What is your favorite sport of all time?
Football, of course.
Football. NFL or college?
NFL.
Okay.
Yeah, college, I can't watch too much college. It's like playing Madden. It's just points just rack up sometimes.
Yep. Points do rack up there, that's for sure. I will tell you this, just a quick side. As a Ravens fan, even though the season ended in bitter disappointment, Lamar had his MVP season. So I was unaware of this, but yesterday on NFL Network, I guess they were doing like the MVP season. And I'm punching around on TV, and I realize I'm watching games that I was physically at just to watch them play again. It is that bad.
I was watching that on the NFL Network. They kept playing Ravens games after Ravens games.
Well, it was
an All-American weekend.
I thought it was the most glorious thing ever. It was Purple Sunday. But I didn't know what was coming. But, I mean, I realized, like, I'm watching games. I already know how it ends. I already know what the score is. I remember the big plays, and even though they got a touchdown that happened 9 months ago, my fists were still in the air, and I'm cheering. And I'm like, I have lost my freaking mind.
Okay, what NFL team do you like the most? What's your favorite team?
Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, that might answer the question I'm already giving you, the random question. What sports team, James, do you say you hate the most?
Ooh.
It can be any team, any league. I mean, it doesn't have to be
just
NFL
to help
football.
You out. A lot of Hawks fans, of course, say the 49ers. That is understood. In the next two seasons, it will be the Cardinals. Mark my words on that, man.
Yeah. They got a good quarterback coming out. I don't know. Like, I think the teams I hate the most probably go back to the old AFC West days.
Like okay.
Raiders.
Like who?
Raiders.
Kansas City. Yeah.
That was a rivalry back in the day, man.
I've noticed one thing with people that don't like the Raiders. It doesn't matter why you don't like them. There is never a point where you ever like them again. Like, look, I've hated New England, but that's because of Tom Brady and his success. They got Cam Newton now. Uh-huh. I don't care. New England means nothing to me now. We'll kick their ass if we play them. Now that Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay, I've never had a problem with Tampa Bay until now. Now I hate, that's and right, I realize
exactly.
I hate the player, not the team.
I will say this, as far as growing up on the East Coast, you know, you watch all the East Coast games when they swing to the West Coast, depending on who the better teams are that year. That's typically the game that they scheduled ahead of time, because back then they scheduled all that whole season ahead of time. But one of the things we always were guaranteed to see was the Seahawks play the Raiders and the Seahawks play the Broncos. So, you know, you didn't see the Seahawks a lot, but when you did,
on
the East Coast, we never saw Tampa Bay play.
No.
Not until the Gruden years.
No.
I mean, we never saw.
They were terrible.
We just never saw them on television. The Saints were the same way. It wasn't that they weren't.
You didn't see the Saints, the Jets, or the Bucks, because they were that bad
and
for that long.
It was just how, you know, geographically speaking and the difference of the time and everything for the Seahawks, but it was always, it was like Monday Night Football. It was like the Boz and Bo Jackson. It was always like that.
Because they were brutal games, man. Look, if you're an NFL fan, and we can say all these things to help the players, and players, if you're listening, yes, your safety, but you know as well as we do, we love the big hits. We love it when teams that hate each other are trying to kill each other out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, those are the games they show.
Like, the Raiders were just one of those teams, too, that, like, you don't have to dislike them, but if you see, it's easy to cheer against them.
Yeah, it is.
They always had one or two players that you really do not like.
Yeah.
Just based on the style of football they played and the kind of person they were. Bill Romanowski is a great example of a decade of somebody who was just, you know.
But he's an a-hole, period. But
exactly,
things were different.
But he was also the anchor of their defense.
But with free agency, a lot of that stopped, right? So before free agency, if you didn't like a team, you're not going to like them or any of their players for a solid 10 years because it was the same guys every time you saw them play. Now with free agency, you could think you hate certain players, but if they become a free agent, you really hope your team gets them?
Yeah. Well, I think there's you don't like people for different reasons. Brady might have been the fact that, he was a Patriot and he was so successful.
He kept beating my team. That's all it is. Look, there's nothing wrong with him as a human being. There's obviously nothing wrong with the way he plays the game. There's nothing wrong with how he is as a teammate. But he was a thorn in my side for a long, long, long time. Yeah. And therefore, I hate him. But I will say this, the moment he retires, but greatest quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, look, my list of hate for other sports teams goes deep.
Who's your worst? Who do you hate the most?
Probably Duke basketball.
That's solid.
Like Duke basketball or Tottenham in the English Premier League, Cowboys.
Because of Washington.
What about baseball? I figured we just go Astros. Sport by sport.
Astros.
I guess the Astros. Before that, probably just Yankees fans, right. As I say, because I don't have to say because they're fans.
Right.
You get the message.
And, here's something Astros-esque about the question. What sports team do you hate the most? We just want to tell you that if you didn't know, Cam Newton signed a deal with the Patriots. 1-year deal, $7.5 million to replace Tom Brady. Cam Newton is a likable guy in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's not a lot of animosity towards him
Press conferences, but he's a good teammate and he's a good person.
Right.
He should just speak less to the public.
So they're going to pay him $7.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah, bro, listen.
What did he say to the one female reporter?
Crazy man, female. I can let you know it's football. Like, well, she does.
Damn,
look, man.
No.
You can't say that out loud. I mean, he stopped the whole press conference just to be like, oh, wow, fellas. It's like, Cam, look, you're a good guy. Just answer the question. Move on, bro.
Cam is 31 years old. He missed 14 games last season with a foot injury and a couple of the games previous year with a shoulder injury. He does take a lot of shots. So, by the way, they kind of bury this.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention, too, and it's such a weird thing, but he's got an electric smile.
You always say that.
Look, I know.
It sounds ridiculous. He joined the league in, 2011, I guess it was. And I remember he gets drafted. And Ted's like, as we discuss football, how do you think he's going to do? Who knows? You go back and forth the skill set. And Ted's like, look, I like the guy, dude. He has great chiclets. Mm-hmm. That was your quote. Oh. He has great chiclets.
Well, because that year at Auburn, he was the man.
Oh, yeah. Go War Eagle. The NFL, by the way, when they announced this, they also punished the New England Patriots for illegally taping the Cincinnati Bengals sideline last year. They will be fined $1.1 million. They're going to lose a third-round pick in 2021, and their TV crews can't shoot games during the season anymore. Keep in mind, they were busted doing this with the Browns. Browns last year. The Bengals is a separate incident. When they first had the footage of this being done, and it was being addressed with a guy, it was the Browns because they played that division.
And both teams suck.
Here's my thing. Can you believe in the world of the NFL, and you are the Patriots, okay? No one's going to question your ability to do well. But you are stealing signs from the worst. Like, if I'm going to get busted stealing the signs of another team, I stole the signs of the Patriots or the Kansas City Chiefs or the Ravens, the 49ers, the Seahawks. Who it would not be? The Jets, the Bengals, the Browns.
Teams that you can know you can beat.
The Browns, I think it took us half the season to figure out they were going to suck. Because remember, they were the hot thing coming in. But, like, you got busted stealing signs from the Bengals. I don't even know if I would have my team watch tape on the Bengals last year. Like, hey, guys, take the week off. Remember, show up on the field on Sunday. Good news, though, we're playing the Bengals and we're going to Dairy Queen.
And I agree with what you said earlier, because, look, that draft pick is just gone. So, in other words, there'll be 31 picks that round of the NFL draft, the third round, and the Patriots get fined $1.1 million. I think the Bengals get the pick from the Patriots.
I think that'd be the ultimate.
Yeah. I think then you say not only did you lose the pick, but you gave it to the team.
But here's the thing.
You did wrong,
My first thought with that is, like, that sounds good. It does sound like the right thing to do, but I know how I am. So maybe I'm in a minority, but I'm thinking, okay. I know I've been talking with the Bengals. They're going to hire me as an assistant coach next season, right? And it's a promotion from whatever my spot is on whatever team, but we'll use the Patriots because they're the ones in trouble for this. I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, I'll go ahead and record this because now when I accept this job with the Bengals next season, I also know that I got our team an extra draft pick. Now, I know that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty evil.
I'm not
pretty far-fetched.
Come on, man. I think I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm just saying it's probably what I would do if I knew that the punishment, right? Think about it, Ted, all right? So here it is toward the end of the season, all right? It is early December. Your team is not going to the playoffs. So you know in week 16, with 17, whatever, it's done. You have been in contact with this other team. And maybe they suck, too. It could be Jacksonville. It doesn't matter. But they've contacted you. You have been the defensive line coach. We want to make you defensive coordinator.
All right.
We talked about it, and at some point you've accepted the job, and your team, you know, they're saying, hey, that's great. You know, we're happy for Ted. He's deserved it, all the crap that you say publicly. You're telling me you wouldn't come up to me knowing I'm your guy, because you know I'm up to no good, right? So you're telling me you don't come up and say, listen, man, I need you to flagrantly record some of the signs from this other team because we're playing Jacksonville coming up next week. Do this for me because the punishment is when I become defensive coordinator, I get an extra third round pick.
Hey, look,
I would.
It would, yeah. I'm just saying, I'm like, all right, that's where we're going now. Yeah. We're planning out the year before.
I'll tell you what, I will say this, as far as the...
and that's why we can't do it.
As far as the intrigue goes of an NFL year, all the quarterback moves that have been made in the offseason, all the different teams who have kind of just shuffled their lineup around and the excitement around NFL football in general, I think this would have been, if it happens, one of the more interesting years. Everything that a fan
why
wants
do you think so?
Has been done already. First of all, even as an NFL football fan, we don't care about the Hall of Fame game. That has been canceled. We do care about the Hall of Fame ceremonies and who gets in if you have a team.
Yeah.
Did you want to? That's all
we don't care about preseason. But
this is our favorite thing ever, and someone will go, hey, did you watch the Hall of Fame game last night? You go, oh, no, they played it. Who played in it?
Mm.
No one cares.
Yeah,
all right?
You're right.
So the second part is they cut preseason down to three games.
That's right.
In my mind, preseason should only be two at the very most.
At most.
Home, one away just for injuries and everything else. And if you don't know who your guys are at that point in time, you're SOL in my mind. And then just the idea of all these different quarterbacks that have been moved around and all these different offenses. Can you prove it, Cam Newton or whoever the hell it is, Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, there's so many different guys.
Burrow and Cincinnati.
Yeah. So it's like...
Yeah, Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay.
With Gronk?
With Gronk. To me, that made that interesting. When Tom Brady first went to the Buccaneers, I'm like, all right, I mean, everyone goes somewhere to die. But then when Gronk comes out, I'm like, Jesus, here we go, right? Just their connection and the fact, it's not even just about Gronk as a player, it's the fact the defenses have to account for him, which means the receivers for the Buccaneers that are actually pretty damn good, they're going to get a lot more looks, man.
And Ben Roethlisberger spent a year drinking beer laying on the couch. Is he going to be any good or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, too, with Tampa Bay. I mean, that team was already decent.
Right. It was Jameis Winston. And granted, he threw 30 interceptions. He also threw 30 touchdowns.
And he'll end up somewhere.
He's in Dallas.
Oh, he's in Dallas. Okay.
All right, Jadeveon Clowney, has he signed anywhere?
No.
Is he still floating? Jesus. That's the one that blows my mind.
Get a new agent, buddy. Seriously, asking too much crap there. Your guess is as good as mine, Kodo. Category Star Wars and salads. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.